over the second column, we get back to the hero again. I thought this was just some original thinking, really. First, let's review the importance of letting the heroic ideal die. Seems to be one of the psychological demands of the time.
Where are you getting this?
Oh, I'm just sort of summing up what we've done to prepare us for the second column on 239. I ask you, second paragraph. Mm-hmm. I ask you, when do men fall on their brothers with mighty weapons and bloody axe? They do so if they do not know that their brother is in themselves. We'll skip a little bit. When a man puts the bloody knife into himself in order to sacrifice the one he kills in his brother, then that's when things can change. But whom do people kill? They kill the noble, the brave, the heroes. They take aim at these and do not know that with these they mean themselves. They should sacrifice the hero in themselves. And because they do not know this, they killed their courageous brother. The time is still not ripe. As long as it is possible to murder the brother instead of oneself, the time is not ripe. I think that's the basic idea. But we certainly live in a time dominated by heroes. I mean, what do we get more excited over, Super Bowls or building schools? See what I mean? Really?
What is it?
More people vote for American Idol than voted in the last
president. In 1 week? You think in 1 week or over the whole?
I think in one. I thought it was one special.
Okay. We are a culture dominated by the heroic ideal, and I think that's a real piece.
Fame.
Fame.
Okay, but we, what people will do and say and show on television, mm-hmm. because that fame.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fame.
So 239 continues that idea to 40. I would like you to see what the murdered hero means. And some good food for thought, I think. I would like you to see what the hero, murdered hero means, we've sort of talked about. The tricky aspect of talking about this is in the second paragraph. But our ruler is the spirit of this time, which rules and leads in all of us. It is the general spirit in which we think and act today. He is of frightful power since he has brought immeasurable good to this world and fascinated men with unbelievable pleasure. He's bejeweled with the most beautiful heroic virtue. So that heroic ideal, and I think you could almost replace that with the power that our minds and our science has given us. What's so hard about talking about this stuff is that it has brought much valuable accomplishment. But from the point of view of the unconscious, it is time for it to change. So both are true. The hero wants to open up everything he can. So that's the inquiring spirit of the Western mind. But the nameless spirit of the depths evokes everything that man cannot. Incapacity prevents further ascent. So knowing what you can't or perhaps even shouldn't do belongs to a different level of consciousness. I think that continues on to the last paragraph on the first column of 240. The heroic in you is the fact that you are ruled by thought that this or that is good. So heroism and goodness go hand in hand. But incapacity exists. That next to the last line on the first column there. We get more of the hero coming up, but that's the first assault on the hero.
You know, the way Richard Turner talks about this, if he talks about it, it's the descent of solar man, meaning solar man has to go into the underworld now. And he describes this as, in Western culture, we have this idea that everything is always progress, and that there's no... He's using incapacity here, but another way to think about that is that there's that what has to be let go of is this idea that there are no periods where knowing shows up,
mm-hmm.
where the best action is not to take action,
mm-hmm.
where waiting for something to emerge instead of willing it into being is really the key.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's science, I think, if you thought even more broadly, that would be that same sort of idea.
Yeah.
Science isn't bad. It isn't the progress isn't bad. It's just that in and of itself, without the balancing,
there's no guiding function.
There's nothing there that
mm-hmm.
causes it to hesitate mm-hmm. or wonder or question.
Yes.
The hero doesn't stop and say, does it need to be killed? It just
right.
kills it.
Yeah. Or does it need to be done? If it is possible, then it must be done.
Very nuanced.
This is a shift I believe we're in.
I'm confused about one line here.
Yeah.
Second paragraph. If all heroism is erased, we fall back into the misery of humanity and into even worse.
Where is that saying?
It starts with the one who learns to live with his capacity has learned a great deal. This will lead to the
death. Oh, I see.
Yeah. If all heroism is erased. I thought he was just saying the opposite.
Yeah. Well, the problem is, what is heroism? Mm-hmm. I think. I believe what he's driving at is, it's heroic to kill the hero.
Okay.
That's what the real hero is about. Today.
Okay.
So to give up, you could say to give up the heroic ideal is the heroic aspect of the time.
And maybe it's the hero of the times versus the hero of the death. I mean, it's not that there isn't a heroic value. It's heroic to be able to stand against the heroic attitude of the time.
I believe that's what he's getting at.
That still is necessary. you know, again, that's that idea that you have to be able to hold both in your head. There's, there's zero.
Yeah.
Okay. So
where does the whole idea of the anti-hero?
That's the anti-hero, I think.
To kill the hero.
To kill the hero is the anti-hero.
But then when we make the anti-hero our hero, I mean, there are a lot of people for whom the anti-hero becomes heroic. Is
yeah.
One of the dangers?
I think so, yeah.
The animal farm problem where the, you know, they have the animals go against the farmer and then the pig takes over and flips the farmer house.
Uh-huh.
It's just bad for the animals.
Another way you put it might be to give up power. You give up power over is the heroic challenge of the time. I remember a dream of my own about when I was working on this. I was at a track meet with a woman, and she picked up a javelin and she said, "I want to see how far you can throw this." And I said, "But you have to understand, I throw a different kind of javelin. Muscular force versus insight. That's the shift. Or pushiness versus understanding. Traditional strength versus another understanding of strength." In that case, it was at the hands of the anima trying to boost me into a certain type of man.
You can also say that backwards, differently. I think of myself, you know, trying to always be nice, and if I'm nice enough, they'll do what I want. And that's not what I do. So then that's kind of opposite of what I'm saying, but in the same
way. Well, maybe not.
Right. It's not the opposite. It's because you can use kindness and submissiveness manipulative. So then it's the same issue, but on the opposite side of it.
Different means. I think what you said, Nancy, of letting things emerge, that's the difference, I believe. And see, that's that dark sun. Dark sun is the understanding and the action that emerges.
Well, when I saw that, I thought about Terence's work, since he talks about the descent of the solar into the underworld and the atmosphere.
That's a beautiful phrase. The solar man is or woman.
Right.
Is
he talks about the masculine and feminine, so he uses man and that existing in the male and female.
So another way to put what Jung is going through is it's his attempt to transform the solar man. If not solar man, then what? Well, as you know, so you can say, well, I'm not going to be a solar man, so I'll be an adolescent always against. I think that's the danger. You go from one to the other. Or you just become passive. But this is not about becoming passive. It's a different kind of activity. I think what you were saying, Tammy, in a way, it is how this shifts appears in parenting. You control the child, or do you maintain potency in negotiating? One is power over, other is power with. So you can see it surfacing in many different, and it is occurring. It's just, I think it needs to occur more widely.
In a lot of ancient cultures, the sun is the image of God, right? Egyptian,
mm-hmm.
and there's some Native American cultures too.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering too about this process in transforming the God image.
Mm-hmm. Well, our God is a solar God.
Right.
Definitely.
The difference between those gods, though, and our God is that those gods allow for the darkness as well. Ra, the Egyptian god, there's also the other side of that. Whereas in Christianity, God became everything that was not darkness. In fact, he came
right.
to overcome the darkness.
Right.
So in Christian times, the darkness was seen as generative,
mm-hmm.
and that you die into darkness and you come back out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more what you're I think, referring to in Levitical systems, but did have a massage, because it was balanced with the other gods. But Christianity, God became everything that wasn't dark. He came to overcome darkness, and then that darkness got filled with these corrupt female figures and gradually corrupt male figures, people in that darkness. So now we have to learn to go back into that darkness once again, to see the difference, allow that sun to set on occasion.
Yeah.
And in a way, to become impregnated by those snakes, would be to bring those aspects that had been disregarded into the God image back into.
If the Buddha talks about the snake was the image of life energy. It was energy, it was constant movement. So in energy, there's always death. So it's this constant movement. So it's, to me, that image is so beautiful that it meets the snake in the darkness. Where life is really vibrating. It just doesn't feel that way.
Okay, let's go splitting the spirit. I don't know if this is too much in that or not. You want to take a shot at that or?
I saw it as a male-female thing, the male arrows and the female.
Yeah, me too.
Can you turn the light on?
Then there's the idea of Tao as the shining valley spirit or serpent in between the opposites. You know, one is, it's like wave versus particle.
Really is the, I didn't thought of it, but it's the serpentine way between the arrows and the circles.
You know, lots of fours and fives.
Okay, well, this...
So that was image number...
H-I-I-V, parenthesis R.
Oh, okay.
This isn't, I don't think, too earth-shaking. Basically, it's more, oh my God, I don't want to do this. And tough, you're going to do it anyway. Climb down into your depths. Sit yourself down, be calm. A little farther down on that second column, 240. My light is not of this world. And I cried, I know of no other world. So that's just this other understanding emerging from the dreams. Is threatening. Because it's so different. Two 41, pretty much the same. I am defiant. That middle paragraph, the paragraph in the middle. Desert path, solitary road, etc. Nothing new. Number two at the bottom of the first column. At first, as the first vision had predicted to me, the assassin appeared from the depths and came to me just as in the fate of the peoples of this time. A nameless one appeared and leveled the murder weapon at the prince. Follow that. I think the murder, the leveling the murder weapon at the prince is the assassination of that archduke that was in Serbia that began World War I. And I think what he's doing, he's drawing a parallel between his killing the hero internally and the external shooting of a monarch. So that the killing of the hero is being lived out in history, he feels.
So is this really, maybe you said it before, is this synchronistic stuff that's happening before he...
I don't know if I'd say synchronistic, maybe precognitive. His idea is that history is the living out by many people of what is inside themselves. And to the extent that I am one of those many people, I can see what's being lived out in history within myself. So that the murder of the hero is lived out in the murder of a political figure.
So that would be the collective unconscious.
So that's the collective unconscious, absolutely. See, the reductive approach would say, well, Jung, you're angry at your father. And he's saying it has nothing to do with my father. It has to do with my relationship to the times. Collective unconscious. And because so at the end of that first paragraph on second column of 241, because I carried the murderer in me, I foresaw it. So here is really getting the idea of the collective unconscious.
And also his concept that if you don't work it out within,
right,
it comes out as fate.
And his contribution to historical change is, if we don't work it out in ourselves, it won't change outside. So that shifts in history require enough individuals having worked it out in themselves. See what the italicized section is? Everything that becomes too old becomes evil. What's too old here? That old solar man. There was a time when it was necessary, and that time has passed. When was it necessary? Well, it was necessary to establish science, to establish democracy. Reason had its place, but it's outlived its usefulness.
don't like them, you know, it's like a neurosis.
It's like a neurosis, yeah. It, what was once appropriate is now neurotic. Or you could say, well, it was necessary when the child was 10, but now it's long past due. And that civilizations have the same laws as people. Well, that last couple lines in the right before murder of the hero, the god becomes sick if he oversteps the height of the zenith. That is why the spirit of the depths took me when the spirit of this time had led me to the summit. So he had followed the rules. He had achieved a great deal, and now he was being asked to find something else.
So now he's carried that out literally, killing the king at the end of each year.
Many of those early groups did.
Okay.
Okay, the next one is back to some heavy stuff again. That's the historiated initial H. Is H, I think. Should we kill the lights for a second?
I don't know if there's much to get in that or not. Well, it might be. You see, guys seem to be able to. 6 stars. 6 flames.
So what I see is 5 and 1. The 1 is set off separate.
Keep going.
Well, 5
you're
to
probably
me,
onto something.
5 to me is the body.
Yeah.
1 is would be the starting over again.
Yeah.
And that is brought about by the death, because there's the casket there.
Yeah, you could almost, I mean, I don't know how far to take these things, but you could say, well, it shows just what we were talking about earlier, that he's talking about the one here, but the picture is reminding him of the 5 out there.
Oh, the inner and the outer.
Yeah, that the outer world is as symbolic, the body and the outer world is as symbolic as the inner world.
It's a spike on a casket.
Oh, really?
It makes more sense with the casket, because it's kind of dull on the
one end. Yeah, I think because it's murder of the hero, it's probably a casket.
Of course, a spike, it could be the spike that nailed Jesus.
Well, it could be.
It's awfully gold spike.
It is.
It's a vase.
A vase?
A vase. Mm-hmm. A container.
Uh-huh.
Well, the loaded picture is this one. Oops.
See, what is that one?
That is
4 verso.
Right. So, we were introduced to this idea before. Now we're going to follow up on the murder of the hero. Some of you know this. I don't think everyone does. So those of you who do know, bear with me. The Jung's use of Goethe's Faust. Does everyone know that? No. Bear with me, those of you who do know it. I think it's a good time to embellish this a little bit. Jung wrote over his Balingen home in Latin, but I'll give you the English. Faust's Penance, Philemon's Shrine. Faust's Penance,
Philemon, Philemon, Philemon's shrine. And his grandson told me that Jung felt this was the reason he was alive, to answer that question. It's here, I'm just giving you a slightly more embellished version. Faust was Goethe's big work. There were two parts to it. Part one, make a long story short, Faust, who would represent the Western scientific intellect, fancies a young woman, seduces her with the help of the devil, and ends up killing her. That's the end of the story. Part two, written at the beginning of Goethe's life, I believe in his 20s. At the end of his life, he wrote part two. Again, make a long story short. Faust realizes he's made a mess of things. Everywhere he goes, he spreads misery. And he's resolved to redeem himself. So he decides to build condos. It's incredibly modern for being written in the 18th century. By reclaiming land from the sea. And I guess it referred somewhat obliquely to the building up of Holland by recovering, you know, the marshy coasts and making it habitable land. In the process, he kills an old couple living on the beach inadvertently. So once again, he's made a mess. The old couple is Philemon and Baucis. Philemon's the man, and Baucis is the woman. B-A-U-C-I-S, I think. Philemon, the man. That's an allusion to Greek myth. In the Greek story, Philemon and Baucis were an old couple that lived in the woods. And Zeus and Hermes were out gallivanting around, got caught in the forest unawares at night, and knocked on the door of this couple seeking a night's lodging. Like the Greeks, they gave the two gods lodging, not knowing they were Zeus and Hermes. In the morning, Zeus and Hermes told the old couple who they were, thanked them for the lodging, and offered the old couple anything they wanted as gratitude. The couple said they simply wanted to die together so they wouldn't have to be alone with one person dead and the other living, and to be able to spend eternity together. So the gods saw to it that they died together and they became two entwining trees. That's what Faust killed. Jung understood them as representing that place in the psyche where the gods enter in. So Faust, as the Western power thinking, scientific attitude, kills religious experience. So Jung felt what he had to do was find a way that we can both have the Faustian strength and not kill religious experience. The hero, you see, would be Faust. The hero that he's killing is that Faustian attitude, which I think you read. Where there's a will, there's a way. What's the alternative for Jung? The alternative is, can we find the way
in which the will follow. So you see, that's who's getting killed. The Faustian will, the scientific intellect, the power drive, Western arrogance, use any term you want. That's its social meaning for Jung. It's, as we discussed, those arrogant tendencies in himself. So, murder the hero. Should we have the lights back on? Maybe you want to...
Are there two killings?
You know, I just noticed that now myself. Keep them off for a second. We should brainstorm this a bit.
He tells us in the text who the other one is, doesn't he?
Oh, does he?
I think so.
It's a wheat fire, isn't it? I was with a youth in the high mountains.
And then somewhere they speculate on the identity of the youth.
It's not in the footnote.
Is that in the footnote, Kathy?
So. Where is that, Kathy?
I don't know that I marked it. I highlighted it, but I don't think it's marked it.
Yeah, let's come back to that, because I think that's footnote 115. I'll give you my 2 cents and see if he contradicts me or not. But, you see, it's a youth in the mountains. And I'm thinking that's Jung's peasant Swiss side. It's, if you look at some of his early dreams and memories, it's interesting how often he's with a peasant. Some of those early dreams, he's riding in a cart with a peasant, or a peasant is got the reins, and so on. The danger at killing anything in yourself is that it's an act of will that cuts you off from your instincts. Generally, killing things in dreams isn't a good idea because it's a repression. Unless it's at the hands of nature. In other words, that your nature wishes the murder. And that could be what the mountain fellow is about. That Jung's nature wants this transformation. We're so used to killing nature for the sake of, quote, civilization, that we want to be so careful in our work that developments aren't at the expense of nature, that nature is asking for a transformation. Like in fairy tales, the animal will ask to be killed. Generally, the one who kills the animals in fairy tales gets in big trouble. But if the animal asks for it, that's a different story. So I put that forward as a possibility.
If you read footnote 121, my dream vision showed me that I was not alone when I committed the deed. I was helped by a youth, that is, one who was younger than me, a rejuvenated version of myself.
There we go.
So this is the new part that's growing in him.
I guess you could say, yeah.
Which could be related to that peasant side.
Well, yeah. I think it's significant that he says what else is there? A youth high in the mountains. That doesn't say a mountain youth, but that's where I went with it, for what it's worth.
I think the two ideas go together, really.
Yeah. In any case, yeah, the idea is that this murder is in the service of the unfolding of his nature, where often dreams of killing animals, killing people, is repression of your nature for some collective or moral ideal. Oh, I shouldn't be mad, so you have a dream of killing a dog. Or, I shouldn't feel that attraction for somebody, so you have a dream of killing a cat. That usually spells trouble.
Could it be him in the role of Philemon and Bacchus?
I think that youth then would be Philemon and Bacchus.
The youth or the two characters?
I'd say the youth, because here Jung hasn't yet made the transition. This is still Jung as Siegfried killing Siegfried.
Mm-hmm. Remember, he said he's the murderer and the murderer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is between the guy shooting. It looks like it's in his hand. Someone pulled it out to it.
Mm-hmm. What?
The
rifles?
You mean they're holding on to the rifles?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
No, I mean,
this is another one.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it just shows the bullet.
The path of the bullet.
It looks like they're connected. I mean, it's almost like the youth that's getting shot has his hand up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different blue, though. To me, it's a different blue color. But I couldn't figure out what is in his hand, though.
What, the shield?
Yeah, is that from what? Where did that come from?
That would be the warrior shield.
Okay.
He's not doing a very good job of shielding.
No.
No.
And it probably wouldn't do much good against the bullets anyway.
And then is this nightfall, or is this the dawning of a new day? I mean, I'm just trying to think.
I believe it's...
At night. Is it night?
I believe it's night.
It tells us.
Yeah, I thought so too, but I
couldn't... It's the dawn, but the dawn is over the side of the mountain that appears to be dead, whereas the living side of the mountain...
Daybreak.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that?
It's the second line at the murder of the hero.
Mm-hmm.
He says it was before daybreak. The eastern sky was already light. Do you see the second line there?
Oh, yeah. What were you saying, Ann?
I noticed the difference between the two mountains. The mountain that they're on is very green and posh, and the mountain closer to the sun, where its daybreak is rocky and barren.
What's interesting, Lonnie, is the youth is on the east side where things are starting, and Jung is positioned on the character that represents him is on the west side, which is the ending. So we have his own beginning and end. Then there are those two people.
Mm-hmm. So it's the south and the north, if you're looking at the sun coming up.
Well, I was looking at things where the sun rises and sets.
Yeah, this would be north that way.
Mm-hmm.
That would be east.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd be west.
And there's a big castle in the
east. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There's a feminine version of the story of the killing of the hero in the song of Barbara Allen.
Do you know?
Mm-hmm. You know the Barbara Allen, this Lord William is dying, and he sends for her and says, "I'll live if you'll just marry me." And she's like, "Yeah, well, you were flirting with everybody at the tavern except me last Saturday, so you can kiss it, and I'm leaving." And then as she leaves,
he dies and she hears the bells and everything, and then she feels terrible because she realized that she could have at least like let him get better before she killed him. And so then she makes the decision to die. And so she goes home and tells her mother, just lay my deathbed out because I'm dying tomorrow. And she does. And then they bury them next to each other as though they're married. And out of his grave grows a rose and out of hers grows a briar. And it goes all through the churchyard until it can't go anymore. So it starts climbing up the fence, and at that point it entwines and they become one forever, which is why roses have thorns. But it's that same idea of the murdered and the murderer. And, you know, it's interesting how it's, from the feminine perspective, it's more manipulative. You know, I'll hurt you with words, and this is very violent in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get started, then we'll maybe pick up with this next time as well. I think this is so important. On the following night, I had a vision.
Where are you?
241, second column, murder of the hero. I was with a youth in high mountains. It was before daybreak. The eastern sky was already light. And Siegfried's horn resounded over the mountains with a jubilant sound. We knew that our mortal enemy was coming. We were armed and lurked beside a narrow rocky path to murder him. When we saw him coming across high, and we saw him coming high across the mountains on a chariot made of the bones of the dead. See, Nazism. This is 1913. He drove boldly and magnificently over the steep rocks and arrived at the narrow path where we waited in hiding. As he came around the turn ahead of us, he fired at the same time and he fell slain. Thereupon I turned to flee and a terrible rain swept down. But after this, I went through a torment unto death, and I felt certain that I must kill myself if I could not solve the riddle of the murder of the hero. You could refer to that footnote. He also apparently wrote that his wife was with him, following at a slower pace. Some people mocked us, but I didn't mind, since this showed that they didn't know that I had murdered the hero. As he said, he encountered this in the 1925 seminar. Siegfried was not especially a sympathetic figure to me. I don't know why my unconscious got engrossed in him. I think that's... I felt an enormous pity for him. I disposed of my superior function. The rain that fell is a symbol of the release of tension, that is, the forces of the unconscious are loosened. When this happens, the feeling of relief is engendered. The crime is expiated because as soon as the main function is deposed, there is a chance for other sides of the personality to be born into life. A little next line, Jung mentions in memory that he felt he would have to kill himself if he could not solve the riddle. And he apparently slept with a revolver next to his bed. I think, you know, that was a dark day.
Interesting that the wife helps him, because in Siegfried, the story of Siegfried, it's Brunhilde who reveals exactly where he is weak, where the hero is weak, and that allows him to be killed. That's what happens with Siegfried's death, is that his wife reveals the secret. I just think it's interesting that he was helped by the feminine.
Well, here I was thinking more of, you know, his wife was with him in this.
Yeah.
And this is no small feat. No, she wasn't quite up with him, but holy smokes. Who would be? Well, that pretty much kills our day. Well, maybe next time we'll just review that. I think it's so important. And then we'll just push on. How much did we get done today?
A whole assignment.
We got through our whole assignment?
Didn't we?
Almost.
Yeah, read to 242.
Holy smoly. How many? I'm just trying to think how many pages to assign for next time. So that's 5 pages, huh? So we went from 230. No.
238 or 239 to 241.
239. It's 3 pages, and we're happy. That's terrible. Why don't you read? Well. I read to 248. We might not get that far, but in case we do, you'll 248 before instruction. Is this pace about right? We'll pick up a little bit of speed, but we're also going slow enough that we can digest the main part. Okay, thank you, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.
If you could read Symbols of Transformation, he really does go into a lot of detail.
You can see how important this was.
Yeah.
What am I losing? And how does that affect, how is that related to what's going on in history? He's always asking that question.